Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's time for our weekly checkup with Dr. Richard Holm. He is the Prairie Doc. You can see him on Thursday nights on SDPB TV, and he joins us on the phone now from Brookings. Dr. Holm, welcome.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
It's always nice to hear from you. What's on the program for tonight?
Well, the topic to make us healthy. And it's going to be an interesting little foray. We have a dietitian, a doctor, Liz Droke, as a person who has delved into developing service dogs and emotional support dogs and so on and so forth. And it's unusual that we don't have a physician, but tonight is a special night. We're going to talk about, you know, pets and animals and those kinds of connections, you know, how important pets are and animals are to us as humans. Do you have a pet, Lori?
I do. I have a dog, and I have a tortoise.
You have a tortoise
I
as
do.
Well. And do you find yourself emotionally connected to that tortoise?
Well, I'm really emotionally connected to my dog. I am also emotionally connected to my tortoise, but I have to admit, he has a personality. If you scratch his back, he wiggles back and forth. But it's not quite the same as the dog. It's a different kind of connection, I will say.
It is a different kind of connection, I would suppose. Kind of cool, a cool connection like you would have with a cat, I think.
Right,
have you ever had cats?
I have a long history of loving cats as well.
Oh, I have not ever had a cat, but I've had four dogs in my life, and we have one dog, Sasha, right now, who's a half poodle, half something.
And, right.
She is just the best dog. I mean, you know, just a wonderful dog.
So why did this topic, what kind of made it come to the surface for you? Was it your own personal relationship with animals?
No, I mean, it had to do with, particularly in the geriatric population, people who have animals do better. Mm-hmm. You know, they've brought nursing home pets into that whole realm as well. I mean, the connection of a furry animal and someone who's lonely is wonderful, and particularly with dogs. You know, the dogs have a gene that says, I love you unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe some of those dogs that are aggressive guard dogs may not have that, but most do. And there is no question about it. When I come home, Sasha leaves the room where she's hanging with her master, my wife, Joni, and
yeah.
She'll come out and greet me as I come in and say, I love you entirely, and you're just such a wonderful thing, and thank you for petting me.
Right.
But we're going to talk about service dogs tonight. You know, the different than a loving pet is a trained service dog that guides the blind, hearing dogs that alert those who are hearing impaired. Dogs can pull a person in a wheelchair or protect a person having a seizure or remind a person with mental illness to take their medicine or even calm a person with post-traumatic stress disorder during an anxiety attack. And that's that's a specially trained service dog. They're quite expensive. They're intensively trained. And they work as a service dog for like 10 years, and then they are given up. Because apparently they get into a different mode in that part of their life. And a friend of ours has adopted one of those service dogs that, you know, is done with his service and is now a pet.
They get to retire at some point.
They get to retire.
Right.
Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. And how, just from the dog's perspective or from the person who adopted the dog's perspective, how do you transition a working dog who has done so much for someone or for a community, transition them into being a pet and just taking it easy?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I imagine that the dog doesn't find it difficult to do it. You know what I mean? And certainly the people who have adopt these pets, these ex-service animals, find the love for them too. I mean, it's pretty well known. You know, and you can also have a service miniature horse. Have you heard that?
I have not.
Apparently, you know, if you look at the ADA requirements, it's different than the service dog. You know, you have to have the miniature horse has to be house trained. The whole thing about ADA is, you know, you need to allow a seeing eye dog or one of those service dogs into your restaurant, for example, the public place that you have. The miniature horse, you may not, if your public place doesn't support enough that much weight, you know, that type of a thing.
Sure.
But there's actual rules that are laid out and have been revised in 2010 that defines who is it that can have a service dog, what is a service dog. And then in the public housing sector, there are rules about emotional support and comfort animals.
Mm-hmm.
And in places where no pets are allowed, sometimes those people who need a comfort, emotional support animal can be allowed to have that animal in their apartment.
So, in your experience in working with older adults, some transitioning to other living arrangements, maybe they go live with their children, or they transition mm-hmm. into assisted living or a nursing home.
Right.
Have you dealt with folks who've had to separate from their beloved pets then?
Yes, I have. But the example that I have is my mother and father-in-law, before they passed away, transitioned from Florida to South Dakota. Now, that was a transition enough.
Right.
But they moved into a place, an apartment that are connected to a nursing home. Then they moved from that to an assisted living that was connected to that nursing home, and then into the nursing home. And in each case, the cat that they loved so much moved with them. And then when they died, the cat stayed at the nursing home. And the nursing home, this particular nursing home, has pets for the animals. And they're connected as well to a child care center. So there is this whole situation of being in a nursing home surrounded by pets of all kinds and by children as well. So it's really a nice kind of a place.
Yeah, and that's wonderful for some people. And then there's someone listening and saying, no, really? I can't get away from the kids and the animals? Because they maybe want...
Then you go to the other
other nursing home.
And that's exactly what happened, because my mother went to the other nursing home where there are canaries and fancy birds in the hallway that people are just entranced by, but who are not
in your lap, sort of.
Right, yeah, not in your lap. Not that connection.
Yeah, licking your hands at that point.
Yeah.
What's your medical opinion on how, or I shouldn't say your medical opinion, I should say, you know, as you watch more and more people get attached to, you know, expanding the idea of what a service animal is, beyond, you know, a seeing eye dog, for example, which we're all fairly familiar with, to areas of anxiety and...
post-traumatic stress disorder in the vets, for example, the huge area.
Exactly. What are your thoughts on that? You know, keep expanding our definition of the role of animals in our lives, or keep boundaries around certain things.
You know, if you look at what you know, they did this study in Sardinia called the Blue Zone, where they circled where the people lived the longest. And then, I'm not an expert, and I'm not a researcher really, but a guy who picked up on that, and then he has written extensively about the blue zones where there are arenas of people that live longer. And he's made comments about what is it that allows a person to live a long and healthy and a good life. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what he has said, and then look at the real data, the Mayo Clinic data and a variety of other places, I think there are three major things that allow a person to live long. One is a lifelong history of regular exercise. It doesn't have to be a lot of exercise. It could be 30 minutes of walking every day, or a great deal of interest in something, and a weekend warrior type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that of eating a balanced diet, but the biggest part is less calories. But the third part is connectedness. It's that spiritual connectedness that we have with others, that we can communicate, that we aren't isolated by our poor hearing and our unwillingness to continue continue communication in a different manner when our hearing goes. It is that connection that really makes a lot of difference in people living well and living long. And the animals are a big part of that.
Hmm. You can see Dr. Richard Holm on Prairie Doc tonight on SDPB TV, and he joins us here on Thursdays as well for a quick preview. Thank you so much for being with us today.